All right, well, tonight we are in Proverbs chapter 25. We will begin in verse 26. Would you like to start? Cool.
A righteous person who yields to the wicked is like a muddied spring or a polluted well.
All right. So what are we talking about here when we're talking about this?
Obviously, when you talk righteousness, you always think of like a judge or a... That's usually kind of what comes into my mind, that a righteous person is one who chooses right. And so, I mean, it's kind of like a positive negative. You can't be a righteous person if you're allowing wicked people to have power over you. You know, it's not
25, 26.
Yeah, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26. What happens to muddy water or muddy springs or polluted springs?
No longer able to give life.
Right, you can't drink it, right? No life, can't drink it.
Interesting. You only have one or the other. You're either going to be poisoned by it or it's going to keep you alive.
Yeah. Good.
I know I knew somebody once who didn't have very much trust in people who went to church. And part of that was because he had business dealings with the folks who went to the church. And that person that he was dealing with, actually he did work for, and this person wound up filing bankruptcy, didn't pay this person, and you know, this person actually later on got paid, but in the meantime, you know, the guy went and bought a new car and all these things. And to me, that's what this verse, you know, this person who should have been an example of what a righteous person or a wise person was to this other person who, like I said, didn't like church people in general. And then after that, he was just like, I don't want to have anything to do with him. And it, that, like I said, to me, that's what it reminds me of, that murky waters. They don't see anything clear. They don't see anything refreshing. It wasn't anything for him to grow. It was just murky water.
Yeah. Good.
Well, it doesn't say the righteous who stumble sometimes. Like, it's the righteous who give way to the wicked. So it's not just we told a lie and then repented, or I stole something and gave it back, or I felt bad for it. It's the righteous who completely went to the other end of the spectrum, right? And it says a polluted well, not a well with a couple of extra rocks, or a spring that isn't as pretty anymore. It's muddy, it's polluted, it's unusable. It cannot be used anymore. And a righteous person who's given way to the wicked cannot be used for their intended purposes. They can't be used as God intended them because they no longer carry those qualities. Now, God can do whatever he wants, right? But you're useless for the purpose that you were originally given. Completely useless.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of those TV ministers, they all fall in due time, and then some of them try to do it again, but it's just not the same.
Right.
Already done your dirty deed.
Yeah. So what categories can we assign verse 26 to?
I said self-control.
Self-control. Good.
Integrity.
Integrity, definitely.
Mm-hmm. firm foundation.
Oh. Yeah, we need a firm foundation.
To be like, to stand, be courageous in front of wicked, you know what I mean? Or,
yeah.
That's almost like the word says, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before Father. Or like being bold enough to like when you're in opposition to still, you know what I mean? Like I used to be scared of doing that, you know, until recently. Yeah. So, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
About my walk with God.
It's there's something liberating about sharing your walk with others, isn't it? You don't feel like you walk in fear amongst them. It's more you can actually share. I was looking at this from a different perspective and looked at the individual that turns to the wicked and pollutes his water or, you know, he. I looked at this as creating an illusion. And being full of pride. That I can do this, it's okay. But in reality, you're creating the illusion. Illusion of being righteous, but you're really walking among thieves.
Oh, like Buster's example of like the TV pastors, they think you can even take it. Like, you have politicians who claim God, and you have, you know, anyone in power who does these things, but then undercuts, you know, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Good. Verse 27.
It is not good to eat too much honey or to seek glory after glory.
Okay. What does that mean, glory after glory? To seek glory after glory. Does anyone have a different translation?
I do.
Okay.
It is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not good.
Okay, good. Clarifying. Yeah. So what are we talking about here?
Good question.
Yeah?
I almost seem like a...
What, has anybody eaten too much honey? Does anyone like honey here?
Yeah.
All right.
I've had Halloween.
So if you eat a lot of honey, what happens?
You throw up.
Yeah, you can.
Get a
bellyache at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you guys have never eaten that much honey, but I have. Dad used to have bees in the back, so we would have unlimited supply of honey, you know, because he'd harvest two times a year. So we never ran out of honey.
Why would you get bees? Like, go to
the pet store? he bought a hive of bees. Yeah.
You can buy a hive?
Yeah, you can buy a hive.
There's a name for that. Like, is that apiary or something?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All your bees are
clean,
then you
will
come.
Yep. Have a queen, all the bees will show up. But you can drink, you can eat so much honey that you become sick, don't you? And so the idea here is if I'm seeking honor amongst myself and my own honor, what is that?
Pride.
Right.
It's pride.
Pride.
Glory nowadays is kind of dime a dozen. You can become glorious in a single day. You just have to fall down a flight of stairs and someone get it on video. You know,
your 15 seconds of fame.
And
yeah.
Then you say, next time I'll do it on purpose and I'll really hurt myself if I get more views.
That's so true.
But you gotta go to a higher stairs now.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I think that's kind of getting to the point of the passage. Like, you're gonna top yourself, yeah, but think about the damage that you're gonna do. What's this gonna lead to?
Yeah.
You'll get addicted in some way or another, even if just to yourself.
Very good. So what categories can we assign 27? Did we have pride out there?
Yeah. I said pride is.
Yeah. Any others?
It almost depends on what perspective you're looking at it from.
Okay.
Whether from a prideful aspect or from like a humble instruction aspect or like not seeking glory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I feel like it's almost a lack of contentment, or it's a not being content with where you're at.
Yeah. So the idea that this could be something about contentment. Yeah. Good. And you said humility.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's the short version of what I said.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There it is. You already said pride, right?
Pride. I saw that also as selfish and disrespectful.
Yeah.
All right, verse 28.
Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls.
I know that one.
Okay. So what are we talking about then?
Self-control.
A lot of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It almost seems like if you don't have like some sort of control over the things that you do and say, or you know what I mean, that it renders you defenseless.
Yeah.
Because a city without a wall is defenseless. You know? So,
I was talking to someone about this actual verse, and they said it's kind of like the little boy who cried wolf.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the little boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
Wolf, wolf. Everybody comes, wolf, wolf. If you don't have self-control over your words, you may end up finding yourself defenseless. Yeah. Little boy who cried wolf.
Specifically about anger, though. I mean, mm-hmm. Controlling your spirit, you get too spirited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my daughter and I just watched the new Captain America movie today.
Okay.
Came out today.
Yeah.
And there's a Hulk in it, would you believe? And it's just Harrison Ford over and over again, controlling himself and like just about to lose it. It's great.
And he finally loses it.
Oh, there you go. Man, spoilers.
Yeah. Not my bad.
No, no, no.
My bad.
Very good.
Did you like the movie?
It was good. Yeah.
I thought it was like too slow. I almost fell asleep. Of course, I can fall asleep on any slow movie.
Any other categories we'd like to assign this to?
Drunkenness.
I kind of feel like instruction.
Instruction?
It's good instruction to like rule over your own.
Yeah.
You know, having control over the things you say. And
okay.
That's good life knowledge. That's good life knowledge.
Yeah.
I think it should be influence and counsel.
Influence and counsel, okay. Yeah.
And what about half? Oh, maybe not. I don't know if it's going to.
Well, let's go back to Nate here and ask him, why would you say drunkenness?
I mean, you could use it too when you're drunk. I'm going to quit. Or, you know, be drunk. And fine, I'm not drunk, man.
Mm-hmm. So the idea that you are losing that self-control and you're breaking down all of your defenses.
Good. Being a drunkard, it breaks down walls.
Yeah. Good.
I think maybe discernment.
All right.
Because if the walls are broken, everything can get in, and there's no way for you to figure out what should be coming in, because everything can get in.
Good. Very good. So we are about to enter chapter 26. Would anyone like a new sheet to start on 26, or do you want to keep on going? So I'll pass the book around if you would like a new sheet. So, chapter 26, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. Chapter 26 begins a long conversation about fools and sluggards. And if you would, on your sheet, on the line that says fools, which is up there in number one under people, you can write fools. We're going to put this automatically in there, 1 through 12.
So beside fools, right, 1 through 12?
Yep, right beside fools, 1 through 12 for chapter 26. Do you need a pen? There was one back there on the spaghetti one. I didn't realize you didn't have a pen. Here, you could have used that one too.
This is the closest I'll get to my shirt.
All right, so chapter 26, we begin talking about fools. So we've kind of, some of these, as we go through here, once we get down into verse 17, 18, 19, even verse 16, some of these we've actually seen before. So remember, these were a scroll or some journal that they had found that King Hezekiah was like, hey, put that in the book. And so we do have some repeats in here, but that's okay. So, chapter 26, verse 1.
As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do we get snow in the summertime?
It's Indiana.
I mean, Alaska,
yes. It did snow a couple years ago in April.
In April.
Yeah, that's close to summer.
That's close to summer.
Like I said, it's Indiana. You get snow all year round, right? You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. So what about rain and the harvest? Does that work?
No.
No, you can't harvest anything if you have rain, especially now. Right? Maybe back then they could walk the field, but then that'd get a muddy mess too, right? Yeah. So, are those practical things?
No.
No. So what does it mean that it's unseemly to give honor to a fool?
It's not practical.
It's not practical. It's not valid, right? We shouldn't do it. What categories could we assign this to besides fools? Maybe. Like I said, I set that one there. What's that?
Thinking maybe be wise, but definitely discernment.
Discernment? Good. Any others?
I'm going to say truth.
Truth? Good.
Instruction?
Yes. What about illusion?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Giving praise to a fool only boosts their ego and causes them not to be in reality.
Seems like a simple jumped out at me. Like being simple, like it's like very simple minded to call somebody with. That's wise. Yeah, like have you ever seen somebody acting foolish in some ways, like giving these people praise, and you're just like, really?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, at the sake of sounding judgmental, but I mean, still, it's, Like, I've been in situations like that. Where it's like, you know that somebody is quite foolish, and then you hear somebody talk about like they're just the best thing smoked into your life. Well.
Unfortunately, that's a lot of social media today.
Right. Good. So let's go to verse 2.
Woo! It's fell. Like a sparrow and it's flitting like a swallow and it's flying. What?
Okay, so the NIV, you might read it in that one.
Oh, wait. A curse that is casual does not alight. Okay, there we go.
Okay. All right.
What?
Do we have another version anyone wants to read?
Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest.
Okay. So what are we talking about here?
Now I get it.
All right. Okay. So let's describe the first part of this proverb. What's going on? What are we seeing?
Little birds flying around.
Aimlessly.
Right?
Has anyone been dive bombed by barn swallows? So in our location in Coatesville, we have a drive up for the bank. And in the springtime, birds get really excited. And for some reason, they like to get together and lay eggs. But before they do that, they build a nest. So we have barn swallows at our location that they, for some reason, have elected over the last several years to build nests in our drive-up. So it is my job to go out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the morning. First thing I do is I drive to that location and I knock down all the nests. Sometimes they're bases, sometimes they're almost full, they're almost done. Yesterday, I knocked down a nest that had been completely built over Memorial Day weekend. And they had even, I don't know if you know this about how they do nests, but once they've built their nest, then they take feathers and they stick them into the base of the bowl, right? To line it. And then they take the down off of themselves or other soft materials that they find in nature, like a cotton or other pieces of trash, and they stick that inside the nest so that when their babies are born, or when they hatch, rather, when they hatch, their skin isn't getting poked by all the sticks. So this mother and these sparrows had, or swallows, had actually built this nest, and they built it really up high. And so because it was so complete, I had to look at it to see if there's eggs. Because once there's eggs in there, you can't take it down, right? That's all. You can't do that. But since there was no eggs, I reached up, and I was able to get that and knock it down. Why do we do that? Because barn swallows will dive and attack. So while I was doing that, they were 6 inches from my head, flying, being angry. And when they see the truck come up, they automatically know, and they start diving the truck. And when I get out, I wear glasses now because they come right by my face, right? I mean, they are very intimidating. So, like birds just fluttering around and swallows darting in and out. Sometimes it's aimlessly and sometimes it's where they go. What does the last half of this verse say?
Undeserved. The last half says, so a curse without cause shall not alight.
Okay. So what does that mean?
This is in parentheses, on the undeserving.
On the undeserving. Okay. So what does it mean?
It's almost seems like unjust accusations. Things without basis won't stick. You know? It's going to make you look dumb, more or less. That's what I get from
that. That's exactly the way I read it.
Yeah.
So just like sparrows flutter around and fly, and barn swallows come within 6 inches of your face, a false accusation isn't going to stick. People may say it, people may talk about it, but the truth will be known, right? Because it's reality. The reality is that's the way barn swallows behave. Reality is that's the way birds behave. The reality is people can say bad things about us, but if they're false and they're truly not founded in any foundation, ultimately they will not stick and they will not harm us.
Sticks and stones.
You were going to say something?
Well, it does talk about a curse. So to me, that would be like one of those stupid little doll things.
Voodoo dolls?
Like you put a stick in it or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I remember a preacher once I heard, it was in New York, some lady that went to his church was in a, lived in an apartment building, was all upset because somebody put a dead chicken outside her door, and that was supposedly some sort of a curse, and she was all worried about that. And he's like, if you have God, you don't have to worry about a curse.
Right. Good.
So, to me, that's what I was talking about.
Good. So what categories can we assign this to?
Integrity.
Okay. Integrity.
Truth.
Truth.
Yeah, it does, in my Bible, refer back to Numbers 23:8, and it's talking about Balaam. Then verse 8 is, how shall I curse? This is what Balaam was saying. How shall I curse those whom God has not cursed? Or how can I denounce those the Lord has not denounced?
Good. It can't stick.
Well, in that instance, you almost get the inverse of the blessing there.
Yeah. You can do blessing. I like that. Any others? All right, verse 3.
The whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, a rod for the backs of fools.
Okay. So what are we talking about here?
Discipline,
correction.
Baby, not a fool. Right? We haven't had the spanking discussion yet.
So, where would you put verse 3?
Children?
Sure.
Instruction.
That would be good.
Obedience.
What's that?
Obedience.
Obedience. Good.
Sovereign, holy God.
Sovereign, holy God.
I don't think children and fools are the same thing.
No, that was kind of my little statement. Was just like, this probably isn't talking about kids. This is about criminals.
Yeah.
Not necessarily talking about corporal punishment, just like, there has to be a point where you slap somebody on the wrist because they're being stupid. Like, you're acting recklessly, you're endangering people. You're going to sit in the back of your cop car and your parents are going to give you a talking to. Are you 30 years old? Fine, your parents are still going to give you a talking to.
Scorners?
Yeah. Scorners are those who've rejected. Yeah, so you could do that.
Honor. receiving corrections part.
A little bit of accountability in there.
Yeah, definitely accountability.
The top right of the page.
I think that speaks to how to deal with a fool. I think, you know, there's a picture here, you know, a whip is appropriate for a horse, a bridle is appropriate for a donkey. Mm-hmm. When you're giving them instruction or making them accountable for what they're supposed to do. And they're saying, a rod for the fool's back.
Anybody ever watch NCIS?
Dun.
There's the main character, Mark Hamill.
Harmon.
would always have some smart aleck officer underneath them, and he would just smack them in the back of the head, and then they'd go and do what they were supposed to do. It's like, that's enough of the peanut gallery. There you go. Go to the side.
Should the justice be involved?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, something to be said about fitting justice, too, to say you don't need to overdo it.
Yeah, good. Great discussion. Leading us right up to where I think we're going to spend a little time tonight, verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5, let's read them together, and then we'll talk about them.
Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he'll become wise in his own eyes.
First of all, does the Bible contradict itself?
No.
Okay. We'll get that one out of the way. No, this is not a contradictory statement. What are we talking about here?
A fitting response. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey. And how are you going to say something back to this in particular fool?
Yeah. Conversational awareness. Right?
It's not one of those things that you can just ignore and it'll go away. Ignoring it, it's going to damage you, and it's going to damage the fool more, I guess. It's, yeah, not something you can be passive on.
So kind of a situational. Depends on the situation, right? Depends on how I answer, right? What's the situation? Mm-hmm. I have to be able to pay attention to the conversation, and if I engage this individual in conversation, how am I going to do it? Am I just going to shoot back stupid things to them because they're shooting stupid things to me? Maybe. Because that's what it needs.
Doesn't it also kind of allude to the fact that, like, in 5, it says answer a fool according to his folly, lest he become wise in his own eyes? Like, almost like trying to help expose his foolishness so that you enlighten him to the fact that they're being foolish?
Yeah, again. Yes, exactly.
So, I mean, it almost seems like sarcasm, but
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, like hit them with that sarcasm, and so they know, they're like, oh, do I sound stupid like that? You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's happened to me before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes it's appropriate to answer a fool with their own foolishness, right?
Yeah.
Answer foolishly. Hey, yeah, that's a really good idea to jump off the bridge. You go for that. What do you think?
Let me get my parachute real quick.
Tell me how that works out for you.
Right? It's not going to work. Oh, yeah, that's not going to work. Right? But sometimes it's not appropriate to say that to that individual. Right? So sometimes that individual is standing next to the bridge, and the last thing you need to say is, yeah, jump off the bridge. Right? Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness. He's being foolish to take his own life, right? We know that, but we can't sit there and be sarcastic with them at that moment. We need to help them come back from that.
There seems like a lot of discernment involved in that.
There's a lot of discernment. All of our conversations every single day is boiled down to these two verses. Sometimes I'm going to answer foolishly. Sometimes I can't. And I have to be able to discern what that, right? what calls for the situation? What does that require us to do?
You need to be well informed. Got to do your homework. You know, whether it's, especially if it's this stuff, but even the, like, you know, you just talk about the world and stuff like that. You know what, you know, the WWJD of anything and everything on the news, you know, like it's, you know, that's how we, you know, turn fools into Christians, I guess, is these little conversations, just a whole bunch of them.
A whole bunch of little conversations.
I think there's a big difference between answering how you just answered versus something like, you know, hey, I want and need you here, so I would recommend not doing it. You know what I mean? That's one of those truthful type things, whereas you can be really sarcastic, and I think that's what it's alluding to. Sometimes that may work, but other times you need that wisdom or truth. A lot of times I take the truth route when going, even though I sound silly when I say it in response to their quirky whatever it is they're trying to say, you know, responding with truth is kind of like, oh, well, that was kind of a, you know, buzzkill kind of, like, truth. But again, it takes discernment to understand the conversation you're in, understand the people that you're around and what, you know, who you're talking with. Yeah.
Think before you speak.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is.
I know the Holy Spirit's been on me a lot about prayer. Like, you know, reading in Mark, and just in the first two or three chapters of Mark, Jesus was always leading you to go pray. Your servant is going to increase through your connection in prayer, because you're more connected to the Holy Spirit, who is the counselor. So you'll have that connection to know when to answer somebody and how to answer somebody, or when to just say nothing. You know,
yeah.
I haven't mastered that saying nothing thing yet. I'm getting there, though.
Philippians. Philippians, Paul says that if there's something you don't agree with, God will show you clearly what the answer is.
Yeah.
You can come around to my way of thinking.
Yeah.
That's what Paul says. So, we have discernment, 4 and 5. What else do we have for 4 and 5?
Blessing.
Yep.
Lips and tongue.
Okay. Why a blessing?
Because it could change that situation around.
Good.
What were the other two you had, Nate?
Lips and tongue.
Lips and tongue.
The words that fall off of our lips. Things that come out of our mouth, the things that are ready, right? What people see.
Influence.
Good. I think someone said counsel.
Yeah. So would wise God be involved in that?
Yeah.
Tapping into God's wisdom to know.
To be able to know which one to, yeah, definitely.
To know what kind of fool you're doing.
Passion in God as well. Yeah. The next thing, reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what about self-control?
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes our tongue comes right in there.
The sarcasm one is more the self-control. Those of us who are a little prone to just poke at the idiots and be like, ha-ha.
Right?
Or there even goes to the point where you feel like you have to be defensive.
Oh, sure.
That comes into play, too, where you're, no, yeah, I mean, whatever yeah. it is, you're...
Like, truth is woven in there.
Truth?
Truth.
Yep. Good.
Gentleness.
Yeah. Gentle.
Where are you?
It's right under humility. Would you say that requires a little bit of humility sometimes?
Yeah.
Is patience on this list?
It is. Patience and faithfulness.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to wait.
Sometimes you have to wait.
So you have to wait to respond.
Sometimes the best response is, you know what, let me think about that and get back to you.
You know what you don't want to do? It's like ask God to test your patience.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
Because he will.
Then he gives you opportunity to do so.
Every time.
Without fail. Over and over and over.
Facts.
All right, so let's move on to verse 6. And I when I read through 6 through 12, these next seven verses, I kind of looked at them as examples of what we've just been talking about in 4 and 5. So that's kind of how I looked at these, is they're, each one is an example of some sort of how to deal with conversation. So verse 6.
The one who sends a message by a fool's hand cuts off his own feet and drinks violence.
That's so rough.
Cuts his own feet?
Yeah, would you cut off your own feet? Would you cut off your hand? Would you cut off your foot? On purpose?
Uh-oh.
Not really.
No.
I think it's when you text like an angry message or you send an angry email, and you know, by being rash, being fast, people are gonna think of you less and therefore ask from you less or stop talking to you. You know, that's losing social mobility, I guess.
Good. In the version that I read, it makes the statement, it says, like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence. I looked it up, and that idea of drinking violence is actually, the violence would be poison. So cutting off your foot or your feet and or drinking poison. Would we do either one of those things without, you know, on purpose? Right? Would we do that?
No.
I mean, that's why we have Mr. Yuck stickers, right?
Is this still a thing?
I don't know. I could never find them when the girls were little. I talked about them all the time. Yeah, we had them everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
We stuck them on the plants, too.
I guess after I read the first part, and then you read the second part, I'm like, well, what do you expect after you... depend on a fool, you know.
Yeah. What's the idea of sending a message through a foolish individual? Are you confident the message is going to be delivered as you said it?
You're almost guaranteeing that it won't.
Yeah.
So I like this version. It says, if you choose a fool to represent you, you're asking for trouble. It would be as bad for you as cutting off your own feet.
There you go. That makes it very clear.
It makes it very clear. Yeah. Passion translation.
So, good.
So basically think of Alfalfa sending a message to Darla. He has buckwheat. Dear Darla. I hate your stinking guts. And he's writing all these loving things while he says all this stuff aloud.
Love Alfalfa.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
That's good.
It's almost like, it's not almost, but it's like I'm reading this like with the assumption that anybody who's reading this is a believer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like it's going to impede your walk, you know, and you're going to welcome drama into your life.
That's a very good way to look at that.
You know, because, I mean, I'm just looking at it in the light of, if you're reading this, you're probably... at some point have some sort of relationship with God because you're in the book of Proverbs, You know what I mean? So it's like, that's just like the river, like setting up a stone in your path to not to impede your walk with God. You know what I mean? Doesn't make any sense.
So what categories can we assign this verse 6?
Discernment yeah. and path were the first two I started.
Good. Discernment, path. Any others?
Counsel.
Yeah, counsel. In fact, if you want to, maybe we should just read each one of these, because I think we're going to find that each one of these fall into each one of the same categories.
All very violent. Very violent.
Mm-hmm.
They're all very damaging. Mm-hmm. Self-inflicted harm.
Yep. So let's go ahead and read verse 7. See if that fits into some of these categories we're talking about.
Like a lame man's legs which hang uselessly, so is the proverb in the fool's mouth.
Okay.
Mine's so mean.
What?
Mine version is so mean.
What's it say?
It says a fool trying to say something wise is like a crippled person trying to walk. That's like so mean.
Yeah. It creates a very vivid picture, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. So let's read verse 8.
Like one who absurdly binds a stone in a sling, making it impossible to throw, so is he who gives honor to a fool.
Okay. What are we talking about when we tie a stone to a sling?
A stone has to be sitting in a sling to be useful. If you tie it into the sling, it can't be used.
Right.
You're going to whack yourself in the head.
Yeah. When you release it, it's just going to swing back around and hit you in the head.
That's right.
Right?
Severe backlash.
Yeah. So let's read verse 9.
Like a thorn bush in the drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool.
What's a thorn bush? Anybody know? Anybody
see that? Like a briar.
There you go.
Yeah, is it on a briar patch?
Yeah, like briars, like that thorn thistle you stick on, you step on in the. Are they fun to hold on to?
No.
Anybody just reached in and grabbed a rose in a rose bush? I'm going to grab that with my hand.
Am I really going to do that? That itself isn't that fun.
Right?
I also tried to. Have you tried to touch a cactus before?
Two balloons. Yeah.
I was like, I wonder what this would feel like when I was little. Well, of course, I electric myself with a toaster.
Well, you're curious.
I think sometimes when we hear people talk, or especially a fool, you know how you have this thought in your head, you're like, yeah, I'm not so sure, you know, and you kind of wince. I think it's almost painful when you hear.
It's painful when you hear something dumb?
Yeah,
yep.
You hear a fool speaking. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to try to climb the thorn tree.
I wouldn't want to climb the thorn tree. No. So let's read verse. Let's see, we did 9. So let's do 10. What's 10 say?
Like an archer who wounds at random is one who hires a fool or any passerby.
What are we describing there?
Sovereignty.
Yeah. So an archer that wounds at random, what does that mean?
It's not aiming at something specific. He's just letting it fly to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Is one who hires a fool to run errands, right?
Mm-hmm.
So verse 11.
As a dog returns to its vomit, so also a fool repeats his foolishness.
That's a beautiful description, isn't it?
No.
Do we need to describe that one, or are we good?
No, we're good. My describes it.
That's it?
That is it, 11?
Yeah.
A sick dog goes back to eat what it could not keep in its stomach.
Ooh.
A fool goes back and makes the same mistake again.
That's a real clear translation.
What?
No mistake
of
the meaning there.
Good.
Wow.
All right. So now let's read verse 12.
Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him.
Mm. And so what are we talking about here?
Pride.
Yeah, pride.
Someone who thinks they're all that. Yeah. I know it. I've got it. I'm cool.
So when we look at verses 6 through 12 as examples of 4 and 5 and all of this conversation and all of these terrible things, let's take verses 6 through 12 and assign them to these categories. So what category? So we've already got discernment, path, instruction. What else would we assign these to?
Illusion and pride.
Illusion, good. Pride.
I say the need for diligent workers. It's kind of the inverse.
Mm-hmm. Kind of the inverse of what we've been reading, but yes. Diligent workers. I actually assigned this to looking at the positive sides rather than focusing on the fools. What do we need to be doing? A lot of it is being faithful, right? Our faithfulness to God. You were going to say?
Counsel. I also had counsel.
Counsel.
This is good counsel.
Yeah, this is good counsel. Don't do these things.
What about instruction?
Yep. Instruction.
Looking at it in that light, and like trying to find the positive from it, just maybe thinking you have to have goodness.
Do what?
You have to have goodness.
Goodness? Yeah.
Like, I mean, looking at it, like if you're dealing with that foolish person, you know, there's going to be patience and goodness, and like, really, like, it's going to be very trying, you know?
So. I think that has to do with obedience because of. The fool does not obey God.
Right. So we have goodness and obedience. Goodness. Nate, what were you going to say?
I'm trying to find it.
Okay.
That verse is a little bit hard. Because it built up so much about the foolish way. And then... like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, and a person that's prideful is even worse than the fool.
Because we could read this and go, oh, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that. Well, I don't do that. And then all of a sudden we hit verse 12 and it's like, if you ever see a man who's wise in his own, well, I don't do that. I don't do those other things.
That's why I was
right?
like,
yeah. Yes, sir.
I found it Luke 6:36 and Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So mercy.
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 Okay.
His mercy is more. It's all stuck in my head.
Good.
It's a good song.
Something
stuck
about
in
integrity
head.
Is jumping out to
integrity.
Having integrity.
Having integrity. Good. The importance of integrity. That, I mean, we've seen some examples of the lack of integrity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's important to have integrity. Good.
I've learned the value of integrity recently.
Good.
So, I mean, not recently, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sorry. Coming to salvation, just learning like how disingenuous my life was to to where I'm at now, like integrity to me is like everything.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Well, it's a nice point of honesty, too, that I get to say there's more hope for a fool than for the person who's wise in their own eyes. It's just like, you know what? I'm going to count me with the fools. let me have a little bit of hope and admit here's some foolishness in my life.
Because there's instruction for a fool, right?
Yeah,
right.
There's hope.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, a fool can commit sin, but being a fool itself is not a sin. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Pride is at the top, well, maybe not the top of that list, but it's one of the, what, seven? Or whatever.
Yeah, it's often the source. Yeah, undeniably.
That's kind of where it all started at.
Well, good. Well, I think we've had a great conversation. Next week, verses 13 through 16, we'll actually talk about sluggards. And then I don't know if you noticed that in chapter 26, some of these categories are hard to find. They don't jump out like they did earlier. These are more life application, you might say. So finding a category sometimes is a little difficult, and you got to talk through it because they're all life application at this point, is where we are. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll go on and sing some songs, or you guys can have a good evening. Sir, would you please?
Dear Lord, we thank you for our time tonight to study your word, and I pray that it grow in wisdom. Be those who are committed to studying your word with other people together, knowing that there is a greater impact and power of your spirit when we gather in your name. I pray you'll bless those who gather here tonight and send us out with greater wisdom to know how to live in this world and to bring you glory for the sake of Jesus Christ in his name. It's in his name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.